This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's Saturday. Best day of the week.
And it's your birthday. Happy birthday. Woo, woo.
I'm 29 again. Did you know that?
I wasn't going to ask, but since you volunteered, that's what I thought.
That's right. 29. Gosh, I love 29. It's a good year.
You got big plans for today? What's happening? What's on the schedule?
Oh, yes. I'm going to have a birthday party, naturally.
Uh-huh.
Cake and ice cream. Chateaubriand.
Oh.
I mean, the whole works.
Wow. So you're going fancy all the way.
That's right. I want to show these kids how it's done.
These kids, they think they know how to party, but they have no idea.
That's right. And lots of times when they want to cook, I said, well, here, let me give you a hand, you know. Sometimes that's the best way.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to say they're great cooks. it's much better when I get in there and help them, let me put it that way.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They asked me if I wanted to go out or if I wanted to have dinner at home. And I picked dinner at home. I said, I think I want to eat it at home.
Let me guess. You're going to cook, too, right?
That's right. That's right. Oh my
that
gosh.
Way you make sure it's done right.
That's exactly right. And that's why I'll eat it, too, if you thought about that.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's true. Yeah, sometimes if they're not, how do I say this the nice way? If they're not the best cooks, it may not be that good. And so you don't want to ruin your birthday supper.
And I know what my food tastes like.
Yeah.
So I decided I wanted to give them a hand. And I think it'll work out better. Everybody will be happy.
They do less. You get what you want. Everybody wins.
It's a win-win situation.
Nice. Yes. Nice. Well, happy birthday. I hope it's a fun time.
Me too. I think it will be.
Are you one of those that eats birthday cake first and then dinner, or do you do it the traditional way?
Well, I would prefer the cake first, but I'm going to be nice and have dinner first and then have cake and ice cream, you know.
Do it the normal way that regular people do.
Yeah, I'm going to do it the regular way just because.
Yeah, well, I don't blame you. I have been known before to eat birthday cake first, and then I'm so full I can't eat birthday lunch.
Well, I understand that because I love birthday cake.
Yeah.
And this one is got all chocolate on the inside.
Ooh.
So it will be gooey chocolate. It'll be great.
Oh.
And yeah. So, yeah, I can't wait to have some of that.
Oh, that sounds delicious. And then what's the outside?
A little ice cream to go with it.
You picked out the cake, right? You designed it and all that?
Oh, I designed it, picked it out, had it made. I did the whole thing.
Nice.
I had it with all these white swirls on the outside. Then I went back and had to put little pink roses all on the outside and then big pink roses on top.
Wow.
I thought that would be pretty. So I designed it that way. Well, I think I'll take a picture of it.
Nice. I'd love to see that. I bet that's amazing.
Yeah. I think it'll be worth taking a picture of today.
Yeah, so, no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a great time.
I think it will be. And all the little children, you know, they like cake, so that's good. And
does everybody know? I assume they know that you got your own cake, so that they're not going to, like, walk in with another
one. I told them that I did my own cake.
Okay.
And they kept saying, "Do you want us to?" I said, "No, I've got it. Let me do it."
Because, you know, I can see you being sneaky and just ordering your own cake, the good one, and then they walk in and then not tell them, and then they walk in with another one. That's how you get two birthday cakes.
That's right. I hadn't thought of how to get two. I should have done that. But I thought that I better design it.
Yeah.
I said, you know, since it's my birthday, why don't I design my own cake and do it, and then I know I'm going to love it.
Yeah, exactly.
Be, you know?
Well, that sounds like that's going to be fantastic.
You know, most of them don't have the imagination.
They don't.
You know, I hate to say that. You know, they wouldn't have thought about all the roses on the outside and on the top. You know, something really pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all kind of a lost art. You don't see that much anymore, generally speaking.
It is. It's like a lot of other things. People just run and get a store-bought cake at Kroger or Winn-Dixie or somewhere and slide it right into you.
Here you go.
I mean, you know, that's the way they do it. Here it is.
Yeah.
And I did not want one of those. I want something fresh, tasty, and delicious.
Yeah, and handmade especially for you.
That's right.
Well, that's awesome.
And, it'll have my name on it, so how about that?
Now, that's how you take charge of a situation.
That's right. Well, you know, I'm used to taking charge, so I decided I better help them along.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good. Well, that's going to be a great celebration. And then next weekend is obviously Turkey Day weekend.
That's right. It's Turkey Day. And I'm already prepared. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I've got a list of pickup. We pick up this here. We pick up the pies there. We pick up the turkey. You know, I mean, I've got it all laid out. And I'm not really cooking. Cajun turkey. Did all the vegetables, did everything. You know, all I have to do is thaw it out and heat it.
Oh,
how about that?
That sounds perfect.
I love the idea.
Yes.
Yes. They have bourbon, corn, casserole.
Oh, really?
Oh, I mean, they've got so many things that are unusual that are going to be great. This will be the first time I've tried the dressing. I don't believe I tried their dressing last time. But it'll be wonderful. You know, everything else has got that flair, that Louisiana flair.
Mm.
So it's going to be great.
Wow. And you don't have to cook any of it. You don't have to spend days and days, weeks in the kitchen. But you still get a great meal.
That's right. And then the pies are already made. Those people are making them. I'm going to pick them up. I mean, I've never had anything so glorious as to not do anything. I mean, you know. Now, you remember that one year I had it catered?
Yes.
And that was fun. 2 years ago, you know, the caterer did everything and just brought it to the house. And that's another great way to do things.
It is.
You know, you don't want to get in a rut and do everything the same way every year.
No, it's good to mix it up a little. Keep it
that's
fresh.
Right. Now, I've had some good years. I've had some bad. I've had some ideas that weren't so good. And I've already forgotten about those. I've just went right on over that.
Oh, because I was going to ask you about one of the bad ones just
oh, no.
Just for a good laugh.
I've had some bad ones.
Wow. Well, this is going to be great. So you're actually getting a feast and a celebration 2 weekends in a row.
That's it. That's what I'm thinking. You know, I'm going to have 2 weeks of just food, good food, lots of dessert, lots of ice cream. You know, what more could a person ask for?
I know. Desserts, cakes, pies, and Cajun is always, that's one of your favorite. With the
The Cajun food is so great, and all the different recipes they do are great. So, yes, I'm all in for this. And, you know, they make probably 6 kinds of turkey.
Really? Oh.
Yes.
I didn't even know
they,
there was.
They do every kind of turkey in the world.
Wow.
They do the traditional with the herbs. They do a fried turkey. They do a Cajun turkey. They do one with black pepper. I mean, they do so many kinds. You just, if you think it, they probably got it. And
wow.
You just pick it up and thaw it and put it in the oven for a little bit and warm it, you're through.
Wow.
I mean, instead of this 5 hours in the oven in the kitchen, making the turkey, making the pies, doing all those dadgum sweet potatoes.
I know it.
That's my least happy deal, is cutting up the sweet potatoes. I love it, making it, but I don't like cutting them up.
Yeah.
And, man, I don't have to do any of that. It's done. It's wonderful.
Yeah. And then normally when you cook it all from scratch, you have to clean up like 3 times, run the dishwasher like 150 times in one day. It's just crazy.
That's right. You just keep doing dishes all day and half the night. I know many a year I've been cooking turkey, you know, late, really late.
Jeez. Wow. Yeah. And then all the prep. And then you usually forget something.
And the pies, I've got 3 pies coming.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. I've got key lime.
Ooh.
I've got pecan. I've got pumpkin coming.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I mean, Rick Wing eat 3 of those?
Yeah. Somebody's going to try to.
I could eat all pecan by myself.
Oh, I know it. And it seems like pecan pie is always better in the fall. You can get one in August, and it's great, but they're always better around Thanksgiving. For some reason.
It's because your pecans, it's a brand new crop of pecans, don't you think?
Yes. Oh, anything with sugared up pecans in it is delicious, even just them by themselves. Oh, my goodness. What about the lights? Now, aren't you having the lights? Is it next?
Yes, the lights are going to be done the day after Thanksgiving. And I have seen people this week on the online deal saying, do you know of somebody that would do my lights? It's a little
late,
folks.
Really?
I mean, you're supposed to have done this a month ago, you know, getting organized, get your lights ordered where they'll come and put them up. And, you know, I've always said, never let the people store your lights. There's all these companies that said, we'll take care of your lights and just bring them to you every year. And I've always said, don't do that. And, yep, some people got caught. This guy that's been doing their lights, they can't find him. They can't get him on the phone. The phone's been disconnected, and guess what? He's holding their lights.
Oh, boy.
That's so bad. I feel so sorry for him. But I could have told him, don't let somebody else hold your lights.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense to me that a stranger is going to hold your lights. And, you know, it's several $1,000s worth of lights. So a lot of people got stung, and I feel real bad about it, that they you know, let somebody else hold the lights.
Wow.
And now their lights are gone. It's Christmas time, and they're going to have to buy new lights and find somebody here at the last minute. And I don't even know if you can find anybody this late.
Yeah, not anybody that's
good. A lot
good.
Of these people are booked solid.
Yeah, they are.
You know.
I mean, was it last year that you went with somebody else, and it was kind of like last minute, it was later than usual, I think, from what I remember, and then you had to have them redone.
That's exactly right. We had to have everything redone.
Yeah.
That was a bad deal. You know, when you have to have the lights redone, it's not fun.
No.
But we hired someone that didn't know what they were doing, and when we realized that we hired another company, they came out, took them down, redid them, did the whole thing, and they did a great job.
Yeah.
But you really have to get somebody, not a discount deal.
Somebody who knows what they're doing.
That's right. You need somebody that's been doing this a while. And, you know, one of them that is real popular around here is these firefighters that own their own company.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're used to being on roofs. They're used to being up high. And they do a ton of lights.
Isn't it a whole crew of them that come out?
Yes, all those years we were using them, they'd send 5 or 6 men out. It still took 4 hours,
jeez,
you know?
Jeez, whoa.
Yeah.
More people get it done faster, but wow, even with a crew of 4 or 5, it still took hours. Wow.
It took hours because, you know, it's not that simple. You know, you've got the gazebo, you've got the fence, and then you've got the house to do.
Yeah.
And it takes a little bit of time.
It does. But it's pretty when they're done, though, so that's cool.
Yes, it is. It's gorgeous. And I love to look at everybody's lights. And, you know, everybody has beautiful lights. Everybody has different kind. Sometimes I'll see some that are in color rather than, you know, just the plain lights.
Yeah.
Everybody does everything different.
Yeah, they do. And remember those old school bulbs that they used to have, those big bulbs that I don't even think they sell them anymore, but those big old-timey old-school bulbs, you don't see them much anymore. Now there's like fancy LED and things that blink, and technology's come a long way, but I still love those old-school ones, though. Those are cool.
I do, too. But, you know, all the people that hang them, they all want LED lights.
Yes.
I don't know why. They always say, oh, well, you know, we want to do LED lights.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they're cheaper to run, and maybe they're brighter. But still,
maybe they're brighter. I wasn't sure.
I'm one for nostalgia. I like the old school. I even miss going to the mall, you know, to Christmas shop. You go to the perfume counter, the jewelry counter, and stuff like that. I'm really kind of old school. I like all the old stuff, but most people don't.
I know. Well, I loved it too. You know, and you'd hear the Santa, you'd hear the music in the mall.
Yeah.
But I think that's gone now. I think you can forget all that. You know, the malls are almost a thing of the past.
Yeah.
Everybody's putting in individual stores. It works better. You can park right outside. You can run in, get your business done, and go.
Yeah.
And when you're at the mall, you've got to go to every store there almost.
Oh, yes. Yes, and you walk around with 27 bags and trip over yourself and run into people.
That's exactly right.
We hated it then, but I miss it now.
We always miss what we don't have. Don't you know that?
I should know that by now. You would think I've learned, but no, I haven't. Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
This is your money.
We better talk about.
Yeah, let's talk about some
ahead.
Money. It's your money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I think we've already been in the eggnog.
I think we have. We just didn't know it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you know, lots of times we have new people listening to us, and they don't really know how all this finance works. So let's go through it this morning where they'll know how it works. We buy life insurance policies on people that are terminally ill. They have either 20 months, 24, 30, a short time, but they are terminal. We buy these policies for our clients, and then they make the profit on it. So, you know, when we bid on a policy, when we get it, we notify our people and we say, okay, we have a new policy, a new cancer policy. Let's say it's 18 months. So then we tell them that the profit is going to be like 23, 24, and they say, okay, well, how much can we put in it? And it's usually 50,000 or 100 per person that they can invest. And then they're going to make this 23-24% when it matures. When this person dies, then we notify our clients and say, look, the person has passed away. You've got this much money coming. As soon as we file the claim and get it, we will notify them. So then we notify the people when they've made this money and say, okay, it's in your account. Let's reinvest. So we do this over and over. People have, you know, maybe 300,000, whether it's maybe 2 million. That's a long stretch. But people have several million or half a million. The minimum investment's $100,000. But people do this because it's a safe investment. It's very conservative because it's in a life insurance policy. We all know that life insurance policies are safe because the biggest companies, biggest life insurance companies in America are the ones we use. We don't use any, as I always say, from Podunk. We don't use some little insurance company, you know, that has 5 employees. These are billion-dollar companies. So we know the investment is safe. We know that it's very conservative, but it works. You know, we've been in business over 20 years. Do you realize that?
Really? I didn't realize it'd been
that long.
We've
been in business over 20 years.
Wow.
And we've been doing this for over 10. We've paid out over $200 million.
That's amazing.
I know. We've paid $100 million out since 2018.
Golly.
So we know it works. You know, somebody asked, well, have y'all ever had a maturity? I thought, where have you been in space? I mean, where could you be and not know that? You know, our website shows a lot of the policies that have matured. It shows ones that were early, that were medium, that were over. It tells how long it took for them to mature. So there's a lot of good information there. But when people call us and say, I'm ready to make an investment with you, then we say, are you accredited? And to be accredited, you must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your house, because this is a government-regulated investment. They tell everybody how much they can do. If you're non-accredited, they do not want you in this investment. And that's why they say you have to make $200,000 a year or be worth $1 million without your house. And when people come to us, we put them in a lot of policies. You can't make this work if you just have one policy. So they may have 6 to start with, or 10 or 15. And then as they come due, they get paid, and then we redo it again and again. So this is how the investment works.
So
if it's in anything risky, you know, this is a lot different than a risk.
That's true. It's like, you know, people compare this, I guess, to the stock market, and it's not even close, because life insurance companies, when policies mature, the policyholder gets paid the full amount of the policy no matter what. It doesn't matter if the market crashed or if there's something weird going on overseas or anything like that, whatever's happening with the stock market, none of that matters. The policy still pays the full amount of the actual policy. It won't be reduced, even if it comes in earlier, or, you know, it doesn't matter. It's still the same.
That's right. It doesn't matter if it comes in late, early, or in between. You know in advance what you're going to make. How many investments do you know in advance what you're going to make?
None.
Have you thought about that?
Yeah.
A lot of them, you don't have any idea what you're going to make, or if any. The risk factor is 1,000%. So it takes the risk down, very, very little risk. And the risk is the policy could go over. That's your risk. It's not if you're going to get paid. It's if it goes over. You would have to pay some premium. But again, all of this is told to you up front. When we say, would you like to go in this policy, we're going to tell you everything about it. We're going to tell you how long they think they're going to live, what kind of cancer it is. And we try not to do anything but cancer. We know cancer. We've been doing it a long time. And pancreatic cancer is the worst, because it can say 18 months, and they're not going to live that long. Pancreatic, we've never had anybody lived over 9 or 10 months. So we know cancer. We've been dealing with it a long time. Lots of times we'll turn a policy down. We'll look at it, and the guy's out playing golf. If he's playing golf, he's not very sick. And, you know, we're not going to do that. We want someone that, like when we do breast cancer, most of them is the rerun on it. They've already had that first session. They thought they had it, and usually never do. And then 2 years later, it comes back, and we know it's a good policy if it comes back, because they've either tried to go to Mexico or Europe or somewhere, and they wasted time when they could be doing conventional treatment. So then, you know, that's a good policy. We do a lot of colon cancer policies. And this last year, as you know, we've had several maturities that were on throat cancer, and we usually didn't even have throat cancer or tonsil cancer, and now that's a big deal, and they're not living very long with that. So, you know, we know our business. We've been doing it a long time, and our clients are making good money. So it's a good, solid investment for anybody just getting started. The minimum's $100,000, as I said, and you can see if you like us, put enough money in, you can do several policies. You can't just come and do one. It won't work because you'd be looking every time for a couple of years at a time for that one investment. So we encourage people to do a lot of policies at one time. Be diversified, even in this, even though it's conservative. Always be diversified. So I encourage everybody, if you've got questions about it, call us, ask us, come over to the office if you need to. We do a lot of these. They just come to the office. They already know us. They know how it works, and they sign up. That's usually the way it works.
I've got a two-part question.
Okay.
Most people, for your most, I'm going to ask them both at the same time. Your most successful people, your most successful investors, you say, you know, diversity is key. How many, first of all, are your most successful investors in on average? And then two, do new investors generally start that way, or do they start with like a couple and then see how it works and then kind of all in after that?
Well, people starting out, they usually have four or five.
Okay.
And we don't get them all at one time because, you know, policies don't come to us all at one time. So we may do one next week on a new person. It may be a month before we do the others, or 3 months. It depends how they come to us. But we try to get them invested as quickly as possible. Nobody wants their money just sitting there. So as we get them in, you know, we tell them about them and try to get them in a policy. And lots of times, new person, I'll send them something, they hesitate, and I'll call them or send them a message and say, this is a good policy, why did you hesitate? You know, it's because they don't understand how it works yet. They don't understand, you know, the policy. They've looked at the LE, but they probably weren't really paying attention. The life expectancy is very, very important. You know, we've changed companies. They're coming in better than they used to. So the LE companies we're using right now are really good. They're correct about 87% of the time.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, it's a lot better than it used to be.
I know you had talked about, you know, that this is the only investment you can think of that you know what you're going to make going in. With that said, it's a very well-informed investment on a number of different levels. You also mentioned that if it goes over, that people would have to pay premiums. They know ahead of time what those are going to be, so there's no surprises there. And don't you also escrow for those types of things as well?
We escrow not only for the length of time, but we escrow an extra 12 months. Uh-huh. I'm glad you brought that up. I hardly ever think to tell people that. When we do a policy, if it says the person's going to live 24 months, we're going to escrow 24 plus another 12.
Wow, just
so
in case.
So we always escrow the full time plus an extra 12 months on everything we do. So you shouldn't ever have to pay any premium on the policies that we're doing now.
Wow.
Because we've got some old ones they are paying premium on. But all the new ones, we've just had three policies mature. And they all three came in early. The Rothman just went in the bank. The Turner policy should be in the bank on Monday. So we've got three that have just matured that we've already been paid for, and that money should be in their bank account.
And we should also kind of tell just a little bit of quick background so that people kind of know where they come from. It's not that anybody's going and commandeering anybody's policy. It's people that are selling them because, well, there's a couple of reasons. One, they want to settle their estate ahead of time. But the big reason, I think, and you can correct me if I'm saying this wrong, the big reason is because they need the money right away. And so they're looking for somebody to buy it. They shop it through like a, I guess, usually a broker. And then they have a bunch of people, including you, that will bid on it, and then they'll sell it to whoever, you know, they decide to from those bidders. Is that basically how, kind of like how the background is set up?
That's right. And when people come to us, you know, they're going to try to get as much as they can. And, you know, they don't know what their policy's worth. They think they do. and it's worth what we can pay for it. Mm-hmm. You know, we had somebody this week that we got the bid on their policy, and the broker says, I still have to go talk to the person and make sure they'll accept it. And we've had people, two or three in the last 4 years, that didn't accept the bid. And they went home thinking they were going to get more. And they're not getting any more. We pay as much as anybody in the industry, maybe a little bit more. So they came back 6 months later, and then I didn't think it was a good idea. I figured, you know, if you didn't want to do business the first time, you know, we're not really interested in the second go around.
Yeah.
So that can happen to them. They lose the whole deal sometimes. The others, when they come to us, we bid it. If we get the bid, they sign the contract. It takes 2 or 3 weeks to get all the papers, the final papers to us. And then it goes to Nevada Trust through the trustee. They handle your account. Your account is through Nevada Trust, not with us. They handle everything. They pay the premiums. They hold all the escrow on every policy. So we have a third-party administrator on everything we do. And that's just a safety feature, always having the bank handle the money.
And you're also very particular about the types of policies you even bid on. I know you kind of ran down some of the ones that are, you know, high on the radar, but you don't bid on every policy that comes through. So you're not just kind of like whatever's out there, we'll take it. You're looking at, like, you know, profit margins, how much could you bid and still make it, you know, profitable? What are, you know, the types, what, you know, like you said before, what is their lifestyle? You're looking at all these different factors. And so there's a number of policies that you'll just bypass. You'll say, no, we're not even going to bid on it, right?
Well, that happens every week. They'll send us one, either they're too old, you know, they're 80 years old or 90, and you know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
We love them, but God bless them, they're going to live longer than you and me.
Yeah.
So we don't touch that. Then the premium may be too high. If the premium is 3 to 6%, it won't work, folks. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to keep the policy. So there's all kinds of things. And like I said, if we don't think they're sick enough, we're not going to do it. Because we don't want that policy going over the client having to wait a long time for their money. We want to return their money to them on each policy in a reasonable time. You know, like, my favorite is 24 to 28 months.
That's the good, kind sweet I like spot. To buy.
Yeah, it is. It's a great spot. You've got great profit there. It's about right. And lots of times, if it's 28, it'll come in earlier. You know, we do so many that it says 12 months. But what happens if it's 12 and they go to the doctor, you know, before closing, they may back out because it went from 12 down to 6 months right there while we were bidding it, you know.
Mm.
So, you know, this can happen. So we have to be very careful when we're bidding this as to how many months it is. We've had two that died before we got it closed. Then we had another one that rescinded because he got a report that it was going to be less than 12 months. So that's what happens to us lots of times.
Yeah. And like, what, you know, that sweet spot you were talking about as far as returns, it's because people really are looking for, you know, faster returns. They're not interested in looking for, you know, to buy a policy that'll come in 20 or 25 years. We see commercials on TV all the time from these people that say, you know, sell us your policy, sell us your policy. And they show the people in the RV, and they're bouncing the grandbabies on their knees, and they're running through the park, and they're playing tennis, and they're golfing. Those are not the policies you're looking for. You are very specific. And I think that's probably one of the big draws about why you have had so much success. And what did you say? You've been doing this for 10 years
ish.
Yeah, over 10.
Over 10. Yeah, and so that's why you've had, you know, so much success for so long. And, you know, like you said, that, you know, LEs are getting more accurate, you know, the more data that you've got, you know, the doctors and scientists that you've got on standby to look at these things. And so really it just seems like as you go through time, the whole process and not only just profits, but, you know, the whole thing is as a whole, the whole investment has just gotten better and better over time. So it just, and that's why people.
And we like it because it's conservative. I like it because it's not like the stock market where you can lose, you know, in a day.
Yeah.
A large part of your investment, and you have to start over and say, okay, we can't retire this year. We've got to make up all this money and get back to profitability.
Yeah.
And so I like it because it's not like the stock market. We don't have to crunch numbers every day. We don't have to get up at midnight and check a portfolio, because you actually have to do that when you're in the stock market. You've got to get up and check and see how much you lost that day or how much you made.
Yeah.
And you're on needles and pins because you're getting closer to retirement. If you lose it now, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be working until you're 85. And that doesn't sound like a good thing to me.
No, it's not fun for most people. And that's another thing.
No.
Since you kind of touched on that, the life settlement as a whole doesn't take a lot of time. It doesn't take a lot of engagement. You're not getting up, like you said, in the middle of the night checking your portfolio. Essentially, you buy into the policy and then you get paid when it matures. There's like literally nothing else to do, right? That's it.
There's nothing else to do. It's all taken care of. You've got your escrow. You put up your money. You know how much money you're going to make. We tell you up front if it's 25%, 28%, if it's 12%, you know, whatever percentage it is. We had somebody the other day, the only one in the policy, and they made 35%, which is unheard of even for us.
Wow.
I mean, we're in shock.
Yeah.
That one person made all that money. Then we had another unusual deal. I had someone that the person passed away in the family said, we've got to sell these policies that the person owned. We said, well, we have a client that might buy it. Our client bought the policies, and guess what? It's been 3 months, and the person died, and she just got paid.
Oh, wow.
I mean, who would have thought that would happen? 3 months later, after she made the investment, the person passed away, and she gets all that profit.
Wow. Good Lord.
And I don't even know how much she's made. I haven't added it up, but we just were notified this week that person passed away, and she's going to make quite a bit of money because she has very little investment in it.
Yeah.
You know, she's only been in it 3 months.
And
can you imagine if you bought a policy from some state and you think it's going to be a year or two and it's 3 months?
Yeah.
That's got to be a great deal.
That's a surprise right there. You've had a number of people who have been with you for years and years and years and years, and they're really the profits that they've made over the whole time are very, very impressive. The ones that are the most successful, like you kind of said earlier, are the ones that are most diversified. The more policies you're in, it's kind of like a leapfrog thing where some policies will mature, then you turn around and reinvest, and then it mature, then you turn around and reinvest. And that's really how people are the most successful. That's really how the investment is set up and designed it to work. It's not come in, invest in one policy, and then you're going to, you know, go off and retire into the sunset. It really kind of it keeps people, I guess, I hate to say this, so correct me if I'm wrong, but it keeps people living off of the interest without touching principal. Did I say that right?
That's right. Okay. Most people tell me to start with how much they need in their account. Let's say it's an IRA. 90% of ours are IRAs. So they come in and they say, this is how much I need to make. This is how much I need to keep in my account. And we've always done that. If they say, I need to keep 100,000 available at all times, we do it. If it's 200,000, we'll keep it that way. And that way they've always got money, as you say, to live on, to take out once a year or twice a year. They've got plenty of money. It's not like sometimes you're in the stock market and everything's tied up in stock. This way you always have cash. We always have emergency funds for them. And again, it's all at Nevada Trust. All your money is always controlled and handled by them, and it's never handled by us. And that's your safety feature. And all these other big companies ought to have that safety feature. If they did, the investor would always get their money back. You know that, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you've read this week, some of these deals that are happening, it just makes my head spin. I just don't understand it. I mean, I just don't.
I know it.
I mean, it's so many jillion dollars, I can't count that high some days. I mean, they go, well, they might get 10% back.
I'm going,
oh, my gosh, you mean they've lost that many million?
Yeah.
And yes, they have.
They have. And there's no recovery. And you don't, it's not like I some mean, fund someplace that's going to step in. It's like, it's gone, and that's it.
So. Yeah, I mean, it was so much money. And they told how the guys did it. And they were supposed to be investing all this money. But guess what? They didn't invest it.
They just took it.
What they did, they made up fake bank statements.
Oh.
And they were showing them bank statements where all this money is, how much profit is. I can't even imagine how you made a fake bank statement. I mean, I guess they got some stuff printed up. That's the only thing I can figure out. And this week they caught all of them, and all these people found out all that money they were showing them in the bank and all their profit. Honey, it doesn't exist.
Wow.
Yeah, it just doesn't exist. And I just go, how in the world did it go that far?
Yeah.
Before someone figured it out that all those things they were investing in was just fake. It wasn't real. So, you know,
boy, that'll...
if they'd had a third party handling that money, they couldn't have got to it.
Yeah.
There wouldn't have been any way. You know?
Jeez. Yeah, there'd be some kind of checks and balance system in place.
That's what I'm saying. There was no checks and balances. It's over my head.
No, it'll make you sick.
I don't know how they did it. Yeah, I mean, I just don't. I can't count that high. I mean, it's so many billion dollars.
Yeah. Golly.
Wow.
And that's
so
why
anyway,
all these...
I'm glad we're in something conservative.
Yeah.
I'm glad we have checks and balances on everything we do. It's worth it. That extra step is always worth it. So that's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that people, you know, make money with us. They reinvest with us. They trust us. And it makes a difference.
It does. It really does. And that's why you've had people with you for so long. They've made a ton of money, and they've done it without having to go out and put a lot of effort into it. So this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMedlin.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we take a break. We get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
We're going to talk about the Majestic Theater in Dallas, Texas.
Ooh, cool.
Yes, the Majestic Theater. You know, it's one of the last places on Earth. You know, it's a Dallas landmark. It's a historic landmark. This thing, years and years ago, it's amazing. It was designed by John Everson in 1920. It was the flagship theater of Interstate Amusement Company. This is a chain of vaudeville houses. You remember vaudeville?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh. It cost $2 million. In 1920 to build it. It opened on April 11th, 1921. It seated 2,800 people.
Wow.
This was a five-story building in the 20s.
Good Lord.
Yes. And the first one that started burned down in 1917. So the Majestic was moved to the Dallas Opera House until they could rename it the Majestic Theater until it was completed. But let me tell you about it. It had 20,000 feet in it. The upper four floors was used as the headquarters of Interstate Amusement. But let me tell you about it. The interior lobby, the auditorium, it was a Baroque design, decorative detailing, Corinthian columns, egg and dart molding, cartouches, Roman swags, fretwork. The lobby had a magnificent black and white Italian-style Vermont marble floor.
Wow.
Twin marble staircases.
Oh,
yeah.
Fancy.
It had an ornate cage elevator.
Really?
Which served both balconies, crystal chandeliers, brass mirrors, and a marble fountain. Now, this is in 1921. Can you imagine? The ceiling had a sky of floating clouds, mechanically controlled twinkling stars.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. The seating on the main floor and the balconies, it's just amazing. The stage was flanked by massive Corinthian columns with an orchestra pit. This was big time back then. The backstage consisted of 12 dressing rooms, a loft for the scenery, wooden lighting controls. Then they bought a Kilgan Theater organ in.
Ooh.
It was the grandest of all theaters along Dallas's Theater Row that stretched for several blocks along Elm. They had the Melba, the Tower, the Palace, the Rialto, all of these. But this was the most magnificent one of all. And it had Houdini played there. Mae West played there. Bob Hope was there.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, this was big time. The women came in long dresses, long white gloves. I mean, this was cream de cream. If you could go there, I mean, you were society.
Wow.
And then in 1922, they added films. And the theater began hosting movie premieres. And stars such as Jimmy Stewart, Gregory Peck, and John Wayne came. In your big bands, Cab Calloway, you remember him?
Yes.
He was one of the greatest. Duke Ellington played there. They had all this live music, the orchestra pit. And in 1932, they began showing movies. It was called The Man's House. And they featured Humphrey Bogart, Jamie Cagney, all these macho heroes. Then the Palace was just down the street. And it was called The Ladies' House. And they featured all these female leads. And then in 1973, they closed. The final showing was a Live and Let Die with Sean Connery.
Oh.
Yeah. So this has got all the National Registers, the Texas State Antiquities Landmark, a Texas Historic Landmark, a Dallas Landmark. It's in the U.S. National Registry of Historic Places, the U.S. Historic District. I mean, it's got every award there is. And then it was given to the city of Dallas by the Hoblitz Foundation. They gave it to Dallas in January 1976, and then they restored the whole thing. They restored the Corinthian columns, the urns, the trellises, and they put the 24-karat gold leaf was reapplied to all the decorative accents.
Wow.
And they converted it back like it was, and then they put first balcony box seating in. I mean, this is one of the really historic gems of Dallas, Texas, and of Texas.
Yeah, no doubt.
Can you imagine? I would love to have been there, walking up that big stairway to all these shows. I mean, can you imagine?
I know.
All these columns, all these beautiful urns and the marble floors. This is something really Hollywood type.
Wow, first class all the way.
Oh my gosh, yes. And it had velvet everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine?
Wow, That'd be pure luxury. I can't imagine. I mean, back in the, even in the vaudeville days, to have something like that is just, wow. That's just.
Can you imagine in Dallas, Texas? I was so shocked.
I know it.
I hadn't read about it in a long time. And I got to thinking about it. I go, oh my gosh, yes, the Majestic is one of Texas's really gems from that era, from 1921 forward. I would have loved to have just rode the little elevator, you know. The little cage elevator would have been something. Just to have been there. I can just imagine the people who came there. I mean, Bob Hope was there. Cab Calloway played there. I mean, Duke Ellington. Big stars came to Dallas, Texas.
Jeez, the names, the people that have been through there, the history that it's seen in the last 102 years or 103 years. I mean, it's just wow. that'll put goosebumps on your arms. That's for sure.
Can you imagine on opening night? I can just see the cars coming down Elm Street, and the people letting them out of the cars and the long dresses and the tux and. You know, how people were dressed. Back then, people dressed to the nines.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't any of this corduroy pants stuff.
You say it like corduroy is a bad thing.
I love corduroy, but I wasn't at the opera or you know, this.
That was a night out for sure.
Yes, and they had an opera house there. They had everything. It's just amazing. You know, that they could have a live orchestra back then. And no telling what it cost to have the opera, to have all of the organ that they brought in. This orchestra, I just can't imagine. It would have been something to have seen it.
Yeah. And then to adapt over time and add, like, film capabilities is just, geez.
In 32, they started showing films. And what was funny, they called it the man's house and had all the, you know, the really great men stars. And then the palace down the street had women. Oh, my gosh. And, of course, you know, it was Entertainment Row back then. Can you imagine having a whole street of entertainment?
Mm. Wow.
And that's really a bygone deal. But it's something that everybody should really be proud of, that we had this wonderful theater all those years. I just can't imagine seating 2,700 people.
I know it. I can't imagine looking up and seeing the ceiling that they that they had up there.
Oh, had all these clouds floating.
Yes.
Then they had the twinkling stars where they moved. I mean, this is a long way before its time.
Yeah. Wow, and I'm glad, and it's still they've preserved it. You said right, they've gone in.
Yes, they have preserved it. They went back, redid it in the 70s after it was given to the city of Dallas.
Wow, and is it still functioning like now? Like, can we can go there and see it? Right,
you can go and see it. I don't think they've got anything going on now. I think it's just being preserved now.
Okay.
But that may be, and I just don't know it. You know, after they redid it in the 70s, I think they redid it in 78 and 76. Yeah, 76 and 78 was back when they redid it. But I think it is in business, too. I think seems like I did read that they are having performances there.
Mm. I mean, I'd love to go see a show, but boy, I'd really like to do just a tour, if that was even possible, just to soak in the history.
That's what I would like.
Yeah.
It's been a long, long time. I would love to. But I think there is some musicals being done there, but I don't think it's on a regular basis. I'm just not sure.
Wow. And you say, like, Duke
but
Ellington.
They do have a website. Can you imagine?
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
It's the new age.
I mean, it is new age.
Well, then I'm going to.
And it says it is active now.
Is it really? Wow, so it's still functioning.
1983 till the present.
Wow. I can't even. That would be. It's like I would love to. You could go see a show.
but I would probably be more distracted with the history of the building and trying to look around and see all the intricate designs and, you know, see all the, you know, the architecture involved with it.
Oh, the architecture would just do it for me.
I know it.
And it says that it is Performing Arts Center now.
Wow.
So they are having live performances. I had forgot what they did or not, but they do.
I don't think I could focus on the show for all the history.
Yeah,
of the building.
I would like to just go and tour the thing and see the majestic majesty of it. I think would just be too much. I think I would love it.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm sure, you know, even like if we'd all gone like last weekend before we knew all this, the history behind it, it would be one thing. But now that we know, I would imagine it's probably just one of those things that'll like literally take your breath away with what's.
Oh, I think it would too, because I've never seen anything that, you know, fantastic and a bygone era brought forward.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, there's not a lot of, and the fact that it started is a vaudeville house, you know, and then it kind of evolved.
Yeah.
It's like you don't see many of those anymore.
But can you imagine Bob Hope, all these other people, anybody played Dallas, Texas?
Yeah, wow.
All your big stars.
Majestic Theater, properly named for sure. Oh, wow.
Yes, so it's something that everybody should hear. I need to find out. For sure, if you could do it to her, and I bet we could.
Yeah, and if not, we should put it in the suggestion box.
Yes,
that would be great.
That's right. We'll put it in the suggestion box. We want to see this beautiful building.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder how many million it cost to redo it back to what it was like during vaudeville.
I know it. I know it. It'd be cool to take a tour, you know, have tour guides walk you backstage, you know, the dressing room, see where, you know, not only the vaudeville, but, you know, like the Duke Ellingtons and the Bob Hopes and all the people that came through. Where did they, you know, go? And it would be really, really cool to see all that. So neat.
They had 12 dressing rooms.
I know it.
You know, I mean, can you imagine?
Lord.
Oh, my gosh. And the velvet curtains, I can just see the whole thing.
I know it. The marble. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Before we wrap up real quick, you already went over accreditation, so we do know about that, but we should probably run over the risks. There's not very many,
okay.
So it's going to be quick.
The risk is it could go over. If it goes over, you would have to pay premium, but that is discussed up front. You always know what the premium is. You know what the risk is before you even sign a contract. So we explain everything to you before you start, so you always know where you stand. And we're running a little over on some things this morning. We didn't get to discuss annuities, but the annuities have got some great things right now. They've got the two big bonuses, the 12% and the 17%. To get more information on getting an annuity also, they can call us. We've given the phone number for that, or they can send us an email.
Okay, cool. And to get set up for new investors who are really interested, really, you know, maybe realize, okay, the stock market is just not, my nerves can't handle it. I'm not sure what's going to happen. There's too much instability and uncertainty. I want to get into something a little bit more conservative, whether it's annuities or life settlements. How long does it take a new person to get, I guess, set up?
A couple of weeks, usually.
Okay.
It depends where their money's coming from. I know right now, I've got several people that the money's coming from a brokerage house, so we have to wait for the transfer. But we've already got all their papers there. We're just waiting for the transfer of money. So sometimes this happens. Sometimes people write a check for $100,000, $250,000, and when they do, we can get it right in to Nevada Trust, or if it's going to the annuity company, we can get that into them real quick also. The checks are always made either to Nevada Trust or to the annuity company. They're never made to us. It just doesn't happen.
Okay. All right, so it's a fairly quick process. You'll handle all the heavy lifting. People don't need to worry about being experts in things. You'll guide people through it. I assume with this week being Thanksgiving, you're open Monday through Wednesday this week?
Yes.
Closed Thursday and Friday. But you are still able to take people if they want to come in, call, talk to you, make an appointment, whatever, right?
That's right. We'll get that done the first part of the week, get their money set in, get them to making some money. They're going to be a lot happier than it, probably, than what they have now.
No doubt. All right, Faye, one last time. What is your phone number for people to call?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold. This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.